This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mike and Scott. The story you're about to hear is part of a special edition of The Pulse, The Science of the Cinema. If you want to hear the whole show, check us out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry about the other day. I can imagine what you thought of me.
I didn't think anything. Anyway, I woke up this morning and decided I wanted to stay. Can I see you tonight?
This is a clip from Julia and Julia. It was produced in 1987 and it starred Kathleen Turner and Sting. They were entangled in a supernatural romance of sorts. Never heard of this movie? Yeah, neither did I until I read that this was one of the earliest digitally shot feature movies ever. In the three decades since then, digital technology has made making movies easier for a lot of people. Editing no longer involves handling thousands of feet of physical tape, cutting it up and splicing it back together. Special effects, color correction, cleanup, all of that can largely be done with the click of a mouse now. But digital has actually made life a bit harder for cinema archivists like those at the Library of Congress. Our reporter Irina Zhorov is here now. Hi, Irina.
Hi, Maiken.
Now, the Library of Congress is sort of the keeper of our cultural heritage. How many movies do they have, and when does their collection start?
So they've actually been receiving films as far back as the 19th century, late 19th century, mostly from their copyright office. Right now, they have millions of feet of film in vaults. It's in a mountain in Virginia. The mountain actually used to hold gold. This sounded very Indiana Jones to me. I wanted to see it, and I drove down to Virginia. I met up with Paul Klamer there. He's the library's video lab supervisor, and he took me down to one of the warehouses there.
It's nippy.
It was 55 degrees in this room, and it's where a lot of the uncatalogued materials are stored. There's old film machinery, it's primarily used for parts, and there's tons of reels of film.
Mexican standoff, sharing is caring, fun with words, words to sentences.
Oh, look, biography of Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yeah. In fact, it could be old enough that he's on.
Then we went to another wing, and that wing was even colder. It's kept in the 30s, and it's where nitrate film is stored. Nitrate was an early type of base for film.
All explanations will be really fast because it's too cold in here to talk for very long.
The space looked like a prison hallway with metal doors like those of cells on both sides, and there were tags next to each door.
Universal Pictures. Columbia.
The reason the collection is split up in these cells or vaults is because nitrate film is very flammable. So if one vault ignites, water fills it up in a matter of seconds, but the rest of the collection gets spared. And the fact that we have these vast stores of our cinematic cultural heritage is actually really amazing. So studios copyrighted big films, but not necessarily obscure ones. Many of those didn't end up in the archive. And before TV made replaying old movies profitable, studios saw no reason to keep them.
There were legendary parties in Malibu where they burned nitrate prints of films because they just burn them on the beach. That was the firewood that they brought.
Movies that didn't end up in the fire turn out to be very archivable. You could put it on a shelf, keep it dry and cool, and it would be around for hundreds of years potentially. Then, in the 2000s, the library started to receive digital files. Archivists could no longer put stuff on a shelf. They had to develop a more active management strategy.
Well, we write it to hard drives, and then every 3 years, we copy it to the new hard drives because they're much, much faster and bigger. And then after some time, we'll write it to a tape, but those tapes, they get old, and everybody knows they're only going to last about 10 years.
So, Mike, and during my visit, it was pretty clear from the archivists I spoke with that they're on board, right? They've accepted this paradigm shift, but that's definitely not the end of the story. There's still a lot of kinks and issues to work out.
Like what? What are they dealing with?
It's just a logistical nightmare. It's also more expensive for now. With film, you had to invest in a good shelf. You put your stuff on a shelf, you pay for air conditioning, and you're good. With digital, you have to pay for energy, but also the time and new drives or tapes to constantly update. So it's like investing in new shelves every couple of years, and that stuff is getting cheaper and better, but it's still a challenge.
So are all of the files standardized that they are receiving when they get a digital file? Is it all the same thing?
Not at all. It's a bit chaotic right now, actually, because all of the content producers basically submit whatever they want. There's no standards. Sometimes it's even encrypted, which is no good for the library. But even when it's not, it's a hassle figuring out, like, what do I do with this type of file? What do I do with this type of file, right? Netflix has started asking for a standard file, and because Netflix controls the market in a big way, the library is kind of sidling up to them and saying, give us whatever you're giving Netflix. And that should be easier for them because those files, there's a lot of data on them. They can work with them. But that hasn't been formalized yet. They're just kind of hoping people do that.
What about all these old rolls of film that you saw? What's going to happen with that stuff?
So the film itself isn't going anywhere, but think about the projectors and the people who know how to use the projectors, right? A lot of that infrastructure is aging. So the library has bought machines to start the process of digitizing everything. Some of those machines they had to develop themselves. They didn't exist. So far, less than 1% of the film has been digitized. Part of the holdup has also been developing the infrastructure to handle such huge files. A single movie can be the equivalent of 160,000 pictures. So just imagine trying to copy that from one drive to another. You just think of the scale.
Irina, as the archivists are copying films over into a digital format to kind of preserve them for the future, did you get a sense, were they feeling nostalgic about film and this era that's definitely over?
These people love film. They've spent entire careers working with film. But at the same time, they're pragmatic about it. For example, one of the people I met, his name was Ken Weissman. And the day I was there was his 35th work anniversary with the Library of Congress. Right now, he's the supervisor of the Film Preservation Lab at the library. And I asked him about that. He put it this way.
I have pangs of film's demise remorse, if you will. A number of years ago, I really came to grips with the practical aspects of it, because my responsibility is to ensure that we can preserve the films. Okay, if film itself is on its way out, then I have to make sure that I still meet my responsibilities, and the alternative to that is film to digital workflows. So that's what we're about. So that's what we're building. I wish things were different, but I understand the economics of it.
All right, Irina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mikan.